Dear Lord, mighty God, great King, Heavenly Father, we worship you and we praise you, dear Lord, this day. We thank you for your many blessings, O Lord. We thank you for all you've done for us. We ask, dear God, that you help us, O Lord, to be a pleasure in your sight. Help us to be more Christ-like, dear God. Forgive us of our sins, O Lord. And help us this day, O Lord, that we may learn something, that we may do more of thy will. Please, dear Lord, the mighty God, be with us this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm still trying to get used to this microphone, so try not to get it to bump too much. Who did the miracles in Acts? In the Bible, many miracles were done by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, there were prophets who performed miracles, i.e., Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha. These were prophets that did perform miracles. On the other hand, there were prophets that did not perform miracles, i.e., example of Abraham. Abraham was a prophet of God. David, Samuel, and Daniel, these were prophets. They were prophets of God, men of God, faithful men, but they did not perform miracles. In the New Testament, the apostles were chosen by Jesus himself. One of the main qualifications of an apostle is that they were chosen by Jesus himself and were given power after that the Holy Spirit came upon them to perform miracles. You can refer to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, 1 through 8. Now, the apostles were chosen by Jesus himself. You can refer to Matthew chapter 10, Luke chapter 6, and Acts chapter 1, verse 2, which we'll read. Now, I would like you to notice in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, if they can have it there, but it says here, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power." This is when he chose his 12 apostles. "He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Notice here, Jesus gives them power, exousia is the word, gives them authority to do miracles. When? Before the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You know what that means? That means that they could do miracles. Now, is miracles a requirement for us to be saved? In Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, which he had chosen." Jesus chose these apostles. "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together, with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith ye, ye have heard of me." Which saith he, ye have heard of me. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Jesus is speaking to the apostles. The apostles were to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 6. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." I want to make mention to you that though we that have obeyed the gospel receive the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit, but we do not have the knowledge. There are some things that God has not given us knowledge of. Example, when Christ is coming. Okay. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto all and unto the othermost parts of the earth. The apostles, we know the story here. The apostles, they go to Jerusalem and wait in the upper room. If you would drop down to verse 15 for me, please. Acts 1:15, notice that the word disciples is used for the 120. Disciples were followers, but apostles were chosen by Jesus himself. The apostles could be disciples. Every apostle was a disciple, but not every disciple was an apostle. Only the ones that were chosen by Jesus Christ. Verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of them together were about 120. In Acts chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, Peter and the apostles, they are about to select someone to replace Judas to fulfill scripture. So we could say of Matthias, was he chosen? Wasn't Matthias not chosen by Jesus? Well, let's see. Up to verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of them together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels are gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue a Seldom, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, this they picked Matthias to fulfill scripture. And somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but every apostle that ever was, is written in the Bible. Okay? This Matthias was chosen to fulfill the Holy Scriptures. Is there any apostle right now or that you know of that has been chosen, not by Jesus, but to fulfill scripture? Show me that if there is. Okay? But I'll tell you there's not. Verse 20 again. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. That is Psalm 69 and 25, and Psalms 109, verse 8. These are the scriptures that were fulfilled. In Acts chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, Peter gives more qualifications of an apostle. Verse 21, wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Do you know anybody here that is an apostle right now, or anybody that has ever claimed to be an apostle that has seen Jesus that does fit this definition? Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, they needed to be an eyeball witness. Beginning from the, verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, whose surname was Justice. I want to point out this thing about the surname here. He was surnamed. You know that word in Greek for surname is epikaluomai? Epikaluomai is the Greek word for surname. Do you know what else it is the word for? If you look up the word call upon the name of the Lord, that word is epikaluomai, to call upon, to be surnamed, to put on the name of Christ, i.e. Christian. And we do that by obeying the gospel. Verse 24. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, listen to this. They chose Joseph and Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men. Who are they praying to? Who are they praying to? Thou Lord. Are they praying to Jesus? Surely. They're praying to Jesus. Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast what? Chosen. These apostles were chosen, and these apostles did miracles. Verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go into his own place. Verse 26, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So there was once 12, Judas fell, there was 11. Then they chose Matthias, and then there was 12 again. Okay? Now in Acts chapter 2, the apostles did the miracles, were baptized with the Holy Spirit. This was visible. This could be seen. There are a lot of people that are telling you they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, have you seen it? Was it visible? Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, that is the pronoun of the antecedent, we know that $50 word, you've heard it before. The antecedent is the noun that is just before the pronoun. So, the last noun here, before they use the pronoun they, is the word apostles at the end of verse 26. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, the apostles, were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they, the apostles, were sitting. It wasn't a big tornado. They weren't blowing around and flying all over the place. It was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. You can hear it, like the sound of a tornado. And there appeared unto them, verse 3, there appeared unto who? The apostles. Cloven tongues. This baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was spoken of in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, could be seen. This baptism of the Holy Spirit was clearly visible. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Cloven tongues. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was the apostles that did the miracles. Drop down to verse 14. We're on Acts chapter 2, verse 14. You know that they were wondering what was going on, the people. And Peter, it says, but Peter standing up with the 11, there were 12 apostles. Lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. You can drop down to verse 22. Peter preaches here in verse 22. He preaches the death, the burial, the resurrection. I want to point this out. Peter preaches death, burial, and resurrection. What Peter preaches is the gospel. Let me show you. Drop down to verse 22. It says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. They knew it. Him being delivered by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. You see death. There is death in Peter's preaching. He is preaching the death of Christ. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123, or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for download of great a cappella singing and gospel preaching. Okay, verse 23 again. This is Peter preaching.
Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. He was killed. There's death. Drop down to verse 27. Here, Peter takes the quote from Psalms 16:10, which you just heard earlier at the communion. Brother Bernie quoted it. He takes it where the Hebrew word for hell, the Hebrew word for hell is Sheol. You know what that word means, Sheol? That means grave. He is talking about the grave. The same word Sheol is used for grave in a number of Psalms. Okay? Verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with him an oath. Well, we'll go back to 27. Can we go back to 27? I want to read this so you can understand. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Sheol in the Old Testament means grave. Burial, that's what it's talking about, the burial. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Are we getting this? Drop down to verse 30. So you see death, you see burial, and now in verse 30 he says, Peter says, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, to David, King David, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up. There it is, resurrection. You see, there's death, there's burial, there's resurrection in the preaching of that Peter preached. Peter preaches the gospel, simple as that. Drop down to verse 37. Now, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is what they say after they heard the gospel. After they knew what the gospel was, they still did not know how to obey this. Notice that knowing the gospel is not enough. In order to obey the gospel, you must know two things that you must know. You gotta know what the gospel is, one. And two, you gotta know how to obey it. Because if you don't know what it is and how to obey it, then you cannot possibly obey it, though you say you've been baptized. If you have been baptized and not know the gospel, I got news for you guys. I'm sorry to say this. You had not been baptized into the gospel as of yet. Please, don't be deceived. Okay? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, they asked, what shall we do? Verse 37 again. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter says unto them, he says unto them, repent, death to sin, and be baptized, burial. Every one of you, how many of you? Every single one of you. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. The baptism is for the remission of sin. It is. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Death. Death to sin, you repent of your sins. Burial, you're baptized, which represents the burial. Resurrection, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. I got news for you guys. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no resurrection. No resurrection unto life. You have to have that seal. You have to have that Doria gift. You got to know this. And the only way you receive this Doria gift is by obeying the gospel. Drop down to verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. They were baptized. How do you receive the gospel? You receive it by obeying it. And baptism is a part of obeying the gospel. Is baptism essential? Is baptism necessary? I say this, no. No. Not without the gospel. Let me rephrase the question here. Is obeying the gospel necessary? Is obeying the gospel essential? Are you understanding this? Because baptism without the gospel is not necessary. You don't need it unless you want to get your body clean with the bar soap. But baptism is obedience. Baptism is in obedience to the gospel. Obedience to the gospel is essential. Obedience to the gospel is necessary, and baptism is a part. Which baptism is a part of? Death, burial, resurrection. Repent, be baptized, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, in which you will be resurrected into life with that seal. Okay? Verse 37 again. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They needed to know what to do. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Down again to verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the who? By the apostles. It was the apostles that did the miracles. Important. Just a note. Whenever a prophet of God did miracles, it came with the word of God. It was message-based, guys. Now you got peoples. The apostles had doctrine. These miracles were done, and they had a message. These guys, they're claiming to do miracles right now, and you know, they claim to do miracles, they claim all these, but they have no message. There's something really wrong with that, guys. And don't we have the message written now? We're going to go to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, there were seven. We know about the seven Grecians that were filled with the Holy Spirit before the apostles laid their hands on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit before the apostles laid their hands on them, and they could do miracles. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, but they could not do miracles until the apostles laid their hands on them. You got that? Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring among the Grecians against the Hebrews. Why? Because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason. Who's the 12? The 12 apostles. The 12 apostles gets word of this, that these widows are being neglected. And they say, well, it's not for us to do this. Let's choose some people. Then the 12, verse 2 again, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason, pay attention to this, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, look ye out some Grecians among you, seven men, listen to this, of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, they were already filled with the Holy Spirit. The seven already had the Doria gift of the Holy Spirit. How did they receive it? Received upon obedience to the gospel. Received upon obedience to the gospel. That's how they got it. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. You see, he had the Holy Ghost already. The seven had the Holy Spirit already. And Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Verse 8. See, before, these seven couldn't do no miracles, but they had the Holy Ghost, right? Now in verse 8, it says, and Stephen, I keep saying Stephen, forgive me, it's Stephen. That PH always gets me. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. The nine miraculous, supernatural, spiritual gifts, charisma gifts, spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 10 to 8, they didn't receive that until after the apostles laid their hands on them. It was given by the laying of the hands of the apostles. Now, we're going to go to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, the imparting of the supernatural gifts by the laying of the hands of the apostles could be seen. It was visible. Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 5. Then Philip, which was one of the seven, went down to the city of Samaria and preached the gospel unto them. Preached Christ unto them, yes. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Now, from verse 9 to 11, there is a guy by the name of Simon, and he is a sorcerer. And he deceives many. And they think that he's the great power of God. But guess what? They were wrong. And how long were they wrong? Well, they were wrong pretty long. It's a wonder. Aren't we easily deceived? Can't we? How easy is it for us to be deceived? Let me point out something. Verse 9, I'm going to read this. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he, that himself, was a great one, was some great one. I'm going to read this again. Giving out that himself was some great one. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. No, he wasn't. No, he isn't. Why did they believe that? Why were they deceived? Well, the same reason why we're deceived. If you don't learn that word of God, if you don't have the knowledge of the word of God, you can be deceived too. If I forget this knowledge of the word of God, so can I be deceived. But we have the word of God that undeceives us. Verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Philip did miracles. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Listen to this. The seven that could do miracles by the imparting of the supernatural spiritual gifts, the charisma gifts, by the laying of the hands of the apostles, they could not impart that supernatural spiritual gift. Because if they would, if they could, they would not have to have called for Peter and John. Verse 15, back to verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. It is obvious that they already had the Doria gift of the Holy Ghost. Because if you can only receive that by the imparting of the hands of the apostles, then that means that we need apostles today to do that to us. This Holy Spirit that they were speaking of is the charisma gift of the Holy Spirit. You got that? Verse 17 again. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123, or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for download of great a cappella singing and great gospel preaching. And verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. This imparting could be seen, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands on, they may receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. This gift could not be purchased with a donation. No matter how much you put in the offering plate, you could not get this gift. This was given freely by God by our obedience to his gospel. So, you think you're going to put $1,000 in an offering plate and receive some spiritual gift? Well, it says here that's not the way it goes. Verse 20, but then Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because that thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, can't be purchased with money. Verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Then Peter tells him this, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Drop down to verse 26. Note here, this Philip preaches the gospel. I'm going to show you this. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So, the eunuch's reading Isaiah. Philip comes over and he says, yeah, you understanding what you're reading there? And he says, no, can you help me? Can you sit with me and show me? And Philip is about to do just that. The place, verse 32, the place where the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. That is in Isaiah 53, verse 7. If anybody would be reading the Old Testament, that would be the perfect scripture for them to be reading, for me to preach, or anyone to preach to them the gospel, because that is the prophecy of the gospel. Isaiah 53, verses 8 through 10 is the prophecy of the gospel. Verse 33, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. In Isaiah 53, verses 8 through 10, it says, he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was killed. And he made his grave, verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death, in that he had done no violence, neither was there deceit in his mouth. He made his grave burial. And then it says, if you can't quote it, just read it. Huh? Isaiah 53. But I'm trying to memorize that. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Isaiah 53, 10. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He, God, shall see his seed, the Son of God. He shall prolong his days. So how do you prolong the days of somebody you just killed and buried? Resurrection. So, back to verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, the gospel. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Here it shows you that one, Philip preached the gospel. And two, Philip showed the eunuch how to obey the gospel. Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is a good confession, a good confession. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went forth both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they were come up out of the water, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. We're going to go to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to talk about the house of Cornelius and how they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The house of Cornelius, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, but they were not apostles and did not have the power, the authority given to the apostles by Jesus to impart the charisma gifts by the laying on of hands. God poured out the Holy Spirit to them. Why? To show the Jews that salvation was given to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, an angel sends Cornelius to Peter, and Peter preaches the gospel to the house of Cornelius. We're going to go to start with verse 32. Okay. It says, send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges in the house of one Simon a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Verse 33, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. This is Cornelius speaking to Peter. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." The word of God, the word which God, verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that the word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God here, Peter is going to preach the gospel to them. And they already know, you notice this? I preach the gospel and people, they say, you know, I tell them, you know what the gospel is? They say no. And then I say, well, do you know that Christ died? They say, yeah, I believe that. They say, well, you know that he was buried? They say, yeah, I believe that. They say, do you know that he was resurrected? They say, yeah, I believe that. But they don't know that that is the gospel. You gotta know that that is the gospel. You must know that, because in order to obey the gospel, you should understand what the gospel is. So Peter's about to preach the gospel, verse 38 again, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even unto us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which is ordained of God to judge the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but the apostles also had power given to them by Jesus Christ. They were chosen apostles. These were not chosen apostles, but they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? To show the Jews that salvation was also given to the Gentiles. You got that? Verse 45 again. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. See this word here, gift? That word is doria. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is a doria, gift of the Holy Spirit. There is a charisma, gift of the Holy Spirit. But in order for anyone to receive any of these other gifts aside from the doria, you must first receive the doria gift. So when God poured out the baptismal gift to them, he also gave them the doria gift. The Holy Spirit was given in certain ways. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which was given to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. That could be seen. The heavens were open, the Spirit descending as a dove lighted on him. That could be seen. It was visible. And then Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And then the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Referring to Acts 1:5. Jesus had the measure beyond measure, the measure without measure. And he baptized the apostles, and he gave them power to impart
the supernatural spiritual gifts, the charisma gifts. Only the apostles could do that. You got that? So when the apostles laid their hands on the seven, or whoever they laid their hands on to receive the spiritual gift, those that received the spiritual gifts must have first received the Doria gift of the Holy Spirit. The anointing could be seen. The baptism could be seen. The imparting of the supernatural charisma gifts could be seen. The Doria gifts cannot be seen. We receive that in obedience to the gospel by faith. That's how we receive it. And that Doria gift is also called the seal, or sragio, sragizo. This seal of promise is the gift, the Doria gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the seal that we need to enter into heaven. If you don't have that seal, you ain't going to make it. Is there a requirement to do a miracle? No. And you know, some of these people that they were asked, demanding Jesus, show us a sign, show us a wonder, show us a miracle. Do you guys want to see miracles? If I was a sinner, I'd say, God, show me a miracle. Show me a miracle now. And then he my arm blows off. You see? And then it'll be, no, take it back. We don't need to see miracles. What we do need is this is the gift, the Doria gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the Sragio's seal unto redemption. You got that? Going back to this. Verse 45, Acts chapter 2. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Listen to this. Notice, Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, was he filled with the Holy Spirit or not? Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, wasn't he? He commanded them to be baptized, didn't he? And they, being filled with the Holy Spirit, what did they do? They obeyed baptism. So, you got a spirit that not only commands baptism, but obeys baptism. So, if you got any spirit that tells you that you don't need to be baptized, that it's not essential, that it's unnecessary, I say, what spirit are you of? And show me in the scripture, where it says that baptism is not essential. Show me where the Holy Ghost said that the baptism is not necessary. It doesn't say that in scripture. So why are people coming to this conclusion? Why is this going on? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Okay? Do you know of anybody who had the Holy Spirit, anybody in the Bible, who had the Holy Spirit and lost it because of disobedience? An example, King Saul, maybe? An example, Samson, maybe? So if these guys who were filled with the Holy Spirit did not obey baptism, what do you think would have happened? They would have quenched the Spirit? They would have grieved the Holy Ghost? So like we, if we don't walk in the doctrine, walk in the righteousness of God, then we grieve the Holy Ghost. If we continue in sin, after that we have the Doria gift of the Holy Ghost, and we grieve the Holy Ghost, next thing you know, we'll lose the Holy Spirit. A king has a letter and puts your name in it among the city, and he seals it, Sragio gift of the Holy Ghost. and seals it. And you got to go over there to where he tells you to go and show them that sealed letter. Now, if that seal's broken, what do you think is going to happen? Will you take it to that destination if the seal's broken? You take it to the destination and they say, oh, this seal is broken. Off with his head. But what do you do if that seal breaks? I'm like, oh no, you got to go back to the king. Lord, forgive me of my sins. You see? And he'll put that seal back on you. Verse 46, we'll go to Acts chapter 4. We don't have time. We are running out of time. In the book of Acts, it was the apostles that did the miracles, and whomsoever they imparted the spiritual, supernatural, miraculous charisma gifts. The supernatural gifts were not a requirement for salvation. We don't have to perform miracles to be saved. The Doria gift is required. This is also called the Stragio, the seal of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling, the seal unto redemption. If we don't have this seal, we will not be redeemed. And we receive it upon obeying the gospel. How do we obey the gospel? We must first have to know what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, death, and that he was buried, burial, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, resurrection. So how does one obey death, burial, and resurrection? There's got to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection in the life of the unbeliever to become a believer, in the life of the non-Christian to become a Christian. If any of you are not a Christian, you can become one right now. We have baptismal water that is ready. If you are in need of prayer, we have response cards that you can fill out and bring it up to the front. Why don't you do that right now before it's everlasting too late? Why don't you do this right now while we stand and sing?
There's a fountain created for you, right? Haste, oh, haste to its spring. 'Tis the fountain of love from the source above. And he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? It's for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. Here's the fountain. Hear the call.